Cape Talk. Food.
Well, actually, you don't need any electricity to enjoy my next interview, because what could be more South African than lighting a fire, inviting some friends round for a braai, and maybe cracking a beer alongside while you turn the voice. It's something my guests today enjoy doing so much that they gave up their full-time jobs and turned this into a full-time, I think we can call it safely, an obsession. It's a great pleasure to welcome in studio the co-authors of a new book called Beer, Food, Fire. They are brothers-in-law Greg Gilloway and Carl Tessendorf. Great to have you guys with us.
How's it, Pippa? Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And I wasn't kidding about the old jobs. We're talking here industrial design, copywriting, etc. They gave up the desk job to pursue the passion for braai and beer. And you might have caught them as finalists in the Ultimate Braai Master series. From that, they got their own TV series called Beer Country. And this book is really a spin-off from that show, right?
Wow, you have really done your research.
I really love my braai as well. So.
Well, you know, we're in SA. We keep it local and lekker, don't we all? You know, it's one of the good things. You mentioned local shedding earlier, it means everyone's braaiing a bit more, which is always a good thing. And yeah, this was an extension of the TV show. You know, it was always, it's what we do and it's who we are and it's what we love. And yeah, it was always going to be beer, food, fire. That's where we were going and it's where we'll stay. Absolutely.
Do you both have a very clear memory of the first braai, or is it just something that's been there for as long as you can remember being alive?
Sure. I grew up in Durban, so we grew up around the pool, and braaiing was pretty much an everyday thing. So they're all kind of one big braai in the nostalgic brain. I don't know about Greg.
No, I've definitely got it. We were in the Kruger Park with my folks.
Yeah.
Around the watering hole. You know, after a long hot day of game drives, the watering hole happened to be the beer dispensing kind, and my dad kind of walked over and handed me the tongs with kind of a look of, you know, don't screw it up. I was 7 years old. And from then I was kind of hooked. It was just hearing the fat on the coals and everything. It was just beautiful. And then my first job was actually braaiing when I was 13, braaiing boerewors rolls at Clifton Forth Beach. I was that guy.
All right, so if anybody remembers eating his boerewors rolls, maybe give us a quick voice note with a reference on the quality. So it is a book that obviously is about beer. It's a lot of really a love story to the South African craft beer industry, but it's also about pairing beer with food, about cooking with beer, and about making the perfect fire. Those are all really, really important things to many, many South Africans. Let's start with the beer itself. The book contains a lot of information on what actually goes into beer and the brewing process and the different styles of beer in South Africa. Are you finding that people are getting a bit more adventurous as the variety on offer expands? I mean, we've had the good old SAB brands for donkey's years, but now with the craft beer revolution, suddenly there is just so much more variety out there. Carl, do you think people are starting to get a bit more adventurous?
I think so. I mean, in the last, it's kind of been about a good 10 years of the craft sort of really taking off, and people are definitely getting more adventurous. I mean, this year, I mean, last year alone, we've seen probably some of the most interesting beers that we've seen ever. Beers made with salt water, you know, sour beers, all these interesting things that we didn't know existed, but they're actually really old styles of beer that have been around for a long time. But as you say, we've always just had, you know, 10 of the same. 10 lagers, which is nothing wrong with lager. We all love it. But I think there's a lot more interesting stuff out there. And the more we get to see it, the more we get to see brewers pushing themselves, it just makes for a better, more healthy industry.
So let me ask you about the Murkoffie Condensed Milk Stout, which is your beer. Tell us a bit about that one.
So that was a collab. It was supposed to be a once-off collab that we did with a guy called Fraser from Fraser's Folly. He's out in Strace Byside. And we did it as a once-off, and we just kept getting asked, when are we doing it again? When are we doing it again? And that was 3 years ago. And it is a – he's an Englishman, so it's an English-style stout. And at the time, we were playing with some extracts, and there's a condensed milk extract. And we just started playing with some coffee and then condensed milk, and we love moer coffee. There's actually a recipe for it in the book, or how to make proper moer coffee.
Yeah.
And it just morphed into this beer that's become wildly successful. It won a gold – it's won a silver. It's been really well received.
And where can you buy it if you want to test it for yourself?
A lot of it is around Cape Town, but it is into Joburg now as well.
Okay.
The Garden Route, it's really big up there. On tap at a lot of places around. I'd have to speak to Fraser to get the exact locations, but we do see it in a lot of strange places.
Okay. Well, the first WhatsApp in saying the book is absolutely beautiful and brilliant. Very proud of these two guys. So that's from a fan, whoever they are. Thank you for that instant feedback. The first question is also in, and I should just remind the listeners, you're welcome to ask a question, whether you want to know something about beer, something about brying, making the perfect fire, cooking with beer, anything like that. Please drop an SMS to 31567, a voice note to 0725671567, or of course pick up your phone and give us a call on 021-446-0567. I think it's Carl is the braai breiki king, and somebody's WhatsApp asking what mistakes people make when preparing braai breikis.
I think one of the things that we've learned is it's just do them slowly. That's the biggest thing, because there's nothing worse than a nice crispy toasted exterior and then all the cheese is still solid in the middle. Don't overload it. That's also a big one. You know, nice thin layers make for a good braai breiki. And be generous with butter. You know, it's not a dietary braai breiki. It's a braai breiki.
It's a braai breiki. Okay.
Got to butter both sides.
Yeah. I was just going to say inside or out. Your answer is both. Butter both sides of the bread.
Use good quality ingredients. Good quality cheese.
That's the one.
Well, I mean, that's the secret to any good recipe. It doesn't just have to be the braai breiki, isn't it? What about beer tasting? There's an interesting section in this book on how do you actually conduct a beer tasting and what to be looking for. I was intrigued to read a description along the lines of what you'd expect from a wine tasting, looking for the notes of this and the undertones of butterscotch and that. Does it get that serious?
It is that serious, yeah. I mean, it's a funny thing. You know, wine has always been this highbrow thing, but beer is actually, this is going to put me in trouble, but it's as complex, if not more complex. Yeah. You know, there's only one ingredient in wine, it's grapes. Beer has got hops, water, yeast, malt, all this good stuff, and all of those things have individual characteristics and traits, and there's endless amounts of combinations. And it is, I mean, you can get everything from, you know, fresh grassy spicy notes to intense tropical fruit, chocolate coffee. I mean, the range is just vast.
Chocolate beer. Okay, where am I going to find the chocolate beer?
Moon coffee, actually.
Moon coffee, okay.
That wasn't an intentional pun.
Okay. Is there a particular temperature at which it's the perfect temperature to taste, or is that different depending on the kind of beer it is?
It does, yeah. For sort of lagers, you want to drink them at a cooler temperature. Ales can be sort of a warmer. I forget the range now, but it's a little bit warmer. If it's something that's too cold, you don't taste it. You know, this whole idea of a frosted glass and the icy cold beer, that's not the best way to drink beer, because you just mask all the flavors.
Very nice for quenching the thirst, yeah, but it doesn't really make you appreciate the notes of the beer.
And you'll find as a beer heats up in the glass in your hand over time, it develops more flavors, more characters, more aromas. So it really is it's a deep hole.
Let's skip to the fire, if we may, because Des in Tableview is asking, when do you know your coals are ready? Greg?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of, it depends what you're brying. You know, whether you're going quick and, you know, doing fish or steak, or you've got a poiki on the side or whatever you want to do. You know, there is a general rule how many seconds you can hold your hand over there for. Mm-hmm. You know, 0 to 5 seconds once it gets too hot, you know, then it's pretty good for steak. If it's, you know, on the 6-7 seconder, maybe lamb chops, chicken or pork. And then once it gets a little bit lower, you're talking fish, but then you need to have a fire on the side. You know, you've got to have a fire, a top-up fire that's probably the most important thing. You know, you don't want to be sitting with half a braai rack of Uncle Fricky's frozen chicken when the steaks are done and everything. You need that little backup.
Okay, so you can play around with the heat and keep it up or take it out as you need, depending on what you're cooking.
Absolutely. It's what we found with a lot of the guys when we were on Braai Master and everything like that is having that secondary heat is super, super important. 100%.
Okay. Now, I mentioned at the start that you guys did very well in Ultimate Braai Master, although you didn't make it, you made it to the finals but didn't win it. But Justin Bonello of Ultimate Braai Master actually wrote the foreword to the book, and I believe he's left a voice note. So let's take a listen to what he had to say.
Pippa, it's Justin Bonello here, and I wrote the foreword for Greg and Carl of their book, and I just want to say it's fantastic to have them on air with you. They are really stand-up guys, and I'm super proud of the book that they put together. I have my autographed copy at home, and it is amazing. Probably the best book that'll come out this year for any South African. Rock on, Greg and Carl. You guys are my heroes.
That's pretty solid feedback from somebody who knows his way around a braai. Justin, thanks for that. While we're on the fire and the coals and the wood, etc., do you have a preference for for a particular kind of wood? I know you have a whole chapter that looks at what different firewoods bring to the nature of the fire, but yeah, it's kind dummy's of, guide.
It's kind of what's available. I mean, more than anything, you're ending up with Roycrans that's available almost anywhere. It's a good, solid kind of, it's a lager of firewood. Mm-hmm. You can use it pretty much for anything. It's a good combo of hot and radiant heat. But the problem comes in sometimes is that there's mold in the packet, which is what you want to avoid. Wet wood. Kamildering is great. It is fantastic for high heat, long lasting coals. Other than that, we usually use a combination of wood and hardwood charcoal. Where you can put your little charcoal base down and then make a little hole, put your fire lighters in the middle there and build your fire on top of that. That way you get the heart of the fire going. So even if your wood is a little bit wet, it catches your, your fire won't go out, which is never like your fire going out is never a good thing. We've all been there. We've learned our lesson. We don't do that anymore.
Okay. Thanks for that. Besides dryness, what else should you be looking for when you're choosing your wood?
I think it's also size. You know, sometimes you get these bags where, you'll get like one massive chunk and then like you need a consistent sizes of chunks, because if you have one massive chunk, it's just going to smolder when everything else is ready to go. I would say that's probably my pet peeve when it comes to briarwood. What else?
Yeah, dryness, dimension. There was another D in the book.
There was. We should know this.
We'll work on that in the back of the brain and get back to you. Okay.
I don't know.
The next question, I don't even know if I should ask, because to me this is a bit of a sacrilege, but which is best, outside or inside braai? Outside, of course.
Yeah, I mean,
no, but I know. Cape Town, four seasons in one day, the wind, the weather can be an issue. Do you have a preference, outside, inside? Do you believe it affects the taste of the braai?
Well, not the taste. I mean,
braai's
all about enjoying it. And if you enjoy braaiing inside, then braai inside, as long as you're braaiing.
Yeah.
That's it. As long as you're braaiing. You can cook anything on the braai. There's no problem with braaiing 3 times a day, 7 days a week. You know, as far as we're concerned. So as long as you're enjoying the braai, if inside's what you like and you want to braai in the shelter and out of the wind, we as far as us go, we've worked our way up to a fire pit, nice big elevated fire pit. And that's kind of like flying business class. You know, like once you've gone there, it's tough to kind of go backwards.
Yeah.
So that's how we enjoy doing it. So you can do everything from, you know, the smallest little spatchcock chicken or lamb chops or whatever, right up to a whole animal kind of thing.
A whole lamb on the spit or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Right. Not everyone's got space for a fire pit, though, so we'll all just have to be a bit jealous. What about desserts on the braai? And I'm saying this mindful of how many seasons of MasterChef in all its guises I've watched, where there is inevitably an open fire cooking challenge, and inevitably they fall to pieces on dessert because everybody tries to make a smoked chocolate mousse and things that just go wrong. Somebody on the SMS line saying, when can you come and braai at my house? Because I've heard they make a mean milk tart. Do you make it on the fire?
That's all called.
Yeah?
I don't make it on the fire.
You don't.
No.
Okay.
But it is good. Best enjoy it next to the fire.
Okay. Do you ever cook dessert on the fire? Is there anything in the sweet range that really works?
Yeah. I mean, we've got something that we actually auditioned on for Braai Master. It was one of the snacks that got us onto the show. It's a dessert braai broekie. So, you know, most people when they say braai broekies, they think savory, and it's cheese, tomato, bovril, ham, whatever
chutney,
it is.
Chutney, Mrs. Balls.
Absolutely, 100%. We went a completely different route and did dark chocolate and banana with maple syrup whipped cream.
Ooh.
And I cut little triangles of it. It's super rich and it is super delicious. And if you go camping and you make it, beer country guarantee, you will be the most popular person there. Hands down. The trick is to actually get it before you put it out for everyone else, because once that happens, it's gone.
It's going to be demolished.
No, it's like seagulls. It's crazy.
Dessert braai broekies are good. It's a kind of an untapped thing. And it's a blank canvas. You know, if you like strawberries, put strawberries on. If you like whatever fruit you like. We've tried it with white chocolate. We've tried it with all sorts.
Peanut butter and banana was Elvis's favorite. Hey, some of it goes to sing in your ear while you're enjoying it.
Throw some bacon on there, and that's in the book.
Okay,
it's the rock and roll braai broekie.
The one thing we haven't talked about that's in the book, besides the recipes, are some of the things cooking, not just food that goes well with beer and food that is prepared with beer, but you've actually got a whole range of beer-based butters and salts and even a beer mayonnaise, to my surprise.
No, everything. I mean,
what do you recommend doing it that way, so that you infuse a sort of a subtle beer flavor rather than chucking in a can of starter in the stew, which is probably what most people think of when they think of cooking with beer?
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing when you say cooking with craft or cooking with beer. It's you know, the first thing that everyone comes to mind is starter in a poiki and braising and, you know, that kind of thing. But it started out cooking with craft in the book being like a 2-page little section that we were kind of like looking at or whatever. And then all of a sudden that was a whole different thing that ended up as like 20 pages in the book.
Yeah.
And not only cooking with beer, which is delicious because it's a complex liquid. It stands to reason that if ingredients make nice liquid and delicious liquid, it would make nice food as well.
Yeah.
Apart from hops, which is a different thing. So you'll see in the book there's a big section about using beer ingredients like different malts in your pantry and using them to bake with for dark malt crunchies. And there's chocolate malt rooster cook and amber malt flapjacks and all sorts of stuff in there. And it's using the ingredients before the brewing process. So go to your homebrew shop, Beer Guevara, wherever it is, go and grab a packet of it, grind it up into a flour, and bang it in anything that you're going to bake, guaranteed. It's next level, and it is delicious.
Speaking of homebrewing, somebody asking on the WhatsApp whether you guys homebrew.
Well, we do. We've got a little homebrew club called Cart Horse, which is the most popular homebrew club that you can't be a part of. It's just myself, Greg, and a couple of other mates, and we brew at Greg's house. And yeah, we kind of do like every month we do a different brew. It's a great hobby. You know, it's fun. It's challenging. We're lucky to have a friend, Troy, who's very knowledgeable. But it is. A lot can go wrong. It's tricky. It's challenging, but really rewarding when you crack the beer open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody's just WhatsApped to say Beer Food Fire is being presented as a new TV show in Cannes this year with Peter Gerd, executive producer of The Ultimate Brewmaster, involved. Are you guys part of that?
Yes. Same show.
That's exciting. Okay.
Us, yeah.
So are you going to be heading to the South of France to mingle with the rich and famous?
I don't think so.
Not yet. Come on.
Once Peter does his job and he sells the show and everything like that, next year that might be a different answer. But you know, we had our show Beer Country that went on and went international. It's on Amazon Prime in the States at the moment. It aired locally in 2017. It's been Afghanistan, India, China, Nigeria, on all the SA fights. It's, you know, it's been around.
That's exciting.
So now that the book's out and everything like that, I think the momentum's there. And so hopefully, Pete can do his job in Cannes and we can get a season 2 and a season 3 and we can keep this thing going and tell stories about craft beer in South Africa and food and different people. It's incredible. Some of the stories that are out there around the country of how some of these breweries started and there's so much to tell.
It's awesome because we're living it. You know, we're not looking back and going, oh, that must have been nice. Like, we're living it now. It's happening. Every day there's a new thing happening. And that's what the most exciting thing for me is. We get to go and what we did in the first series is you get to go and tell those stories. You know, you don't have to look back and go, oh, I wish I was at Woodstock. You know, like, we're in it now, man.
The Woodstock of beer.
It's the Woodstock of beer.
One final question before we must wrap for the news. Two or three people are asking about fire lighters, and in particular looking for eco-friendly fire lighter ideas. Do you use them, firstly? And if so, what do you use?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of ways to make it. I mean, the easiest one, which is an old-school thing, is tea bags soaked in paraffin.
Yep, that's ours.
You know, I think Carl's dad was fooling around the other day using dried leaves and an eggshell box and then melting old candle stubs and mixing it up with the dried leaves, and then you can just tear little, you know, mixing it up and put it in the eggshell thing and just tear little pieces off. Works really well. Even an eggshell box with a little bit of oil in it, you know, does the job. So, yeah, I mean, there's lots out there. There's nothing in the book, but, if you're crafty and you feel like it, there is a bunch of options.
Okay, the rest you're going to eat and drink for yourself. The book is called Beer, Food, Fire. It is published by Straight Lifestyle, selling in stores at around about 290 Rand a copy. And you've been listening to the authors, Greg Gilloway and Carl Tessendorf. You can follow them on social media. Just look for the hashtag BeerCountrySA in all its guises on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. And check out their YouTube channel. I guess I need to say cheers and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Pippa. Enjoy the book. Enjoy the Bry Spice.
Thanks for
Let
having
us know how it goes. Try it out. Thanks, guys.